Yes, people, are you eating sprouts? If not, why not? Sprouts are affordable, they're convenient, they're nutritious. They're an amazing way to reclaim your connection to food and be a part of the quite minimal process. Doug Evans is on the podcast today. He's a pioneer in the natural food industry. He's a sprout expert. He's a powerful guy. He is a best-selling author of the Sprout Book, which I've listened to on Audible, which is a real fight for making this a staple in anyone's diet for health, for longevity, for vitality. There's so many things that I'm now passionate about to do with sprouts. This podcast delves a little deeper, gives some context to why, and gives some interesting context to why Doug is a leader in this health movement of sprouts. And after deaths in his immediate family due to diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, he made the decisions. It ran in my family till it ran into me. We talk about change in this and why all the data in the world won't help people. Expect to learn a lot and why sprouts really should be on your windowsill every single day of the year, including Christmas. Please interact with us over on YouTube. This is on there, so please watch it if you feel called to. Maybe take some time out, get your notebook out, and just jot some reasons why, when you are having to wash them twice a day, you remember why you're doing it. Be connected to that why, and then you're going to be healthier. It's not on me to tell you how to learn, but I would do that. I've definitely done that. So enjoy the podcast, support and join the community by going over to our Patreon, link in the description. If you could do me such a favor and support from as little as £3 a month, £36 a year. It's a phenomenal way to help this podcast and be a part of the mission to make life sacred again and to reconnect us with food, the connection to ourselves and the people that are around us, and how next year I can just get even bigger and better podcasts in this arena and really connecting people back to themselves. If you want to join me in a men's community offering that I've got coming up, it's an online space where we as men gather together to educate, to do the inner work, and to take leadership, accountability, and ownership of our lives. It's a powerful space. This is opening up in January. Reach out if you feel called. I've also got 3 retreats at a £200 off discount next year if you sign up before the new year. So you've only really got a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks now, to actually sign up and take advantage of this offer. So the retreats now are at £350. If you sign up after that, it'll be £450, and then they'll slowly increase as spaces get less and less. I've already got 3 signups. There are only a few more for the May retreat. These are definitely not retreats. They're returns to ways that once served us, gathering around the fire to really dive deeper and develop practices, learn healthier ways to relate, address the anger that sits underneath most of all our emotions, and how to communicate effectively in our lives, and how we can go forth and integrate and use the space and the men there to transition and transform into the men we want to become. Other ways you can support the podcast: Telegram, join the group, share this with anyone you feel called to. But ultimately, I'm just grateful you're listening. Have a phenomenal Christmas and New Year, whatever you're up to. No expectation. Just be you, speak your truth, and just act from a place of acceptance in all its forms. That is definitely an ingredient I've found to be the best recipe for any interaction over this period. Just accepting yourself and people where they're at and move from that place. Much love to you all. Thank you for being on this journey with me this year. I will likely put out a New Year special with some clips of my favorite episodes of the year. So please head over to the newsletter on my website, sign up so you don't miss it, and you'll be informed about more stuff going forward. And also, if you want to see anyone on this podcast in 2024, then please reach out to me, send me a message, let me know who you would like on the podcast, and it may be so. Appreciate you. And as a New Year or Christmas retreat for me, why don't you leave me a review over at Spotify or Apple? I would, of course, be so appreciative. Thank you, and enjoy the podcast with Doug Evans.
Bye. So yeah, brother, thank you for coming on the show. So I first heard about you, must have been about 4 years ago. You had a conversation with Jesse Itzler, and that guy, anything that he is backs, I'm like, I'm curious about, is this worth giving my time? And I remember you had a conversation with him. I'm sure you've known him for a long time. But he this was about 4 years ago. And I don't did you change your Instagram handle? Were you called the Sprout guy? Did that change?
No, I was always Doug Evans.
Okay. But yeah.
But I was I but Jesse and I did a live when
Yeah.
my book launched.
That was it, yeah. How long ago was that then? When was the book out?
That was April 2020.
Yeah. Okay. Feels like a hell of a lot longer. So what's changed in the Sprout world since the book?
Well, look, I think since the book came out, hundreds of thousands of people around the world have started to sprout, right? And we've seen just a global lift. The biggest things that changed, over these last few years is I was rediscovering this innate knowledge around sprouting, because I'd been sprouting for, at the time, over 25 years. But I always thought of sprouts as a garnish or as a side dish. And when, the book came out, it was the declaration of the power and potential of sprouts.
Yeah, the
So 3 years
exponential.
later, the potential. So now 3 years later, the tenacity of conviction that I have around the sprouts and the sprouting has evolved really far to the level of deep confidence, like in my soul, like that this direction is the right thing to do, and that it's very clear, and that the ideas are real. So you kind of have that moment where you think you're right, and then it's like if you've ever played a game of cards and you think you got a good hand, and then you get that final, ace, and you have the winning hand. You have that royal flush. That's how I feel with the sprouts now. Like I feel I have the royal flush.
And what kind of things have you seen then in how it's changed, say, person to person? Like what feedback have you got, like from personal, maybe it's reviews or how it's come your way through, like how it's changed personal experience for people when they started to implement and change their lifestyle?
Well, I mean, I've seen people literally lose a half a pound to 1 pound a day, by eating sprouts. Like literally, incredible weight loss, right? 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. And you could translate into kilos, right? 4 or 5 kilos to 20 kilos, people are losing from it. From my own experience, I posted a vanity shot on my Instagram, last week, because I've been, I was always eating some sprouts, but I increased my sprout capacity, and I started to get movement, and I started to get gains in my workout. And so I just thought I would share that. And the response at now 57 years old, more energy, more life force. And, I trimmed this fat. I had this like little bits of fat around my waist that had been there for decades and burned right through that. So that was key. One of the other people had asthma their entire life, and they would wake up every day wondering if they would survive the day. And they had these steroid-based inhalers in every coat, in every pocket, in every glove compartment, every bag, because if they were having an asthma attack, they would need, to have that there. And now the person is asthma free, like asthma free. And so little things like that, I've seen just, but on a more fundamental level, the literally tens of thousands of people that were not eating vegetables before in their diet, that now are growing their own sprouts and sharing their success around it, you know, is key. And I remember when someone sent me a picture of their 5-year-old or 7-year-old kid growing sprouts. I thought that that was an anomaly. And then I got more and more and more and more. And now it seems like, aha, kids, in addition to liking their screens, you know, like to watch things that grow and like to eat things that are alive and tender and have this, you know, organic feel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's so many things that the book just confirms in so many ways, and how you can just grow your own organic food. It can be very cost effective. It can be easy, convenient. There is really no against, you know, if you want to take care of yourself and double down on nutrition and all things like health, really. There's no argument against sprouts. Like, as you know, I feel when it gets to diets, it's really hard. And I've understood over my own journey, it's really hard to measure one thing in isolation, because so many things happen when people start to maybe understand sprouts and like try that. But then they're also being conscious of other things in their life. And it kind of goes hand in hand with things. That's why I rarely have anyone on the podcast talking about diets and talking about food, because it's such a, I guess, convoluted discussion, because we can find evidence for so much. But the one thing and reason why I'm so connected to sprouts is because it just feels different. It just feels different to many other diets, to many other things that we can focus on, because you can really control like where they come from, how they grow. Like it's you can be part of the process, and it's powerful. And we're going to dive into a bit more of like how it's what the potency of sprouts is, and what why everyone can just kind of go down this route of sprouts.
Well, look, I think it's well known that vegetables are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, there's a few people that are off the rails that think that vegetables are trying to kill you. And we'll eliminate those corner case people. But in general, it's well known that vegetables are good for you. The longest living populations are either vegetarian, vegan, or high plant-based consumption. And sprouts are vegetables. And not only are they vegetables, they're tender young vegetables. And this was new information, but it's now well documented in research that the smaller the vegetable, the more concentrated the nutrient content is. So it's as a vegetable gets bigger, it may be getting more fiber, it may be getting more water, it may be bigger, but the certain concentrated nutrients get diluted, that they're most potent in the small form. And so therefore, the bioavailability and the accessibility to these small vegetables are like stem cells. They're just highly prolific. And, you know, some subtle things you could taste, like if you were to take a salad and do a chopped salad with like romaine and other greens, the leaves of the lettuces, you know, would scar, they would bleed, they'd become very tender, and they'd really become mealy quite quickly. And if you take the sprouts maintain their whole like organic structure, because the leaf of a plant was removed from the plant, removed from the stem, removed from the roots, removed from the earth. And it's when you cut it, it's dying. The sprout, on the other hand, is this complete living organism with the root and the shoot and the endosperm and the embryo all intact. and it's continuing to grow, whether it be in the jar or it be in a bowl or it be in the refrigerator, it is still alive and thriving. And so when you think about whole food, when you're eating the sprout, it's whole food. Now, when you compare a sprout to a chopped vegetable, like the chopped vegetable, it's like it's already gone. It's like, you know, decaying, trying to hold itself together, where the sprout is just flourishing. And you could see it, you can taste it, you can observe the chewing and the structure of the plant as you're consuming it, that it's very exciting to be able to be in that level where you're eating something that's so fresh, mm-hmm. right? And when you're growing your own and you can have that option for fresh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. So let's take it to the seed then, because this is what we're cultivating, right? We're cultivating the seed. So seeds created equal? There's got to be, I mean, there's such a variety, but how do we know where the seeds are coming from, like how they're treated, and genetically modified seeds, like does that come into this, and how does someone know how good a seed is? Because how good a seed is how good the soil is, how good the processing's been. So where does all that feature?
I mean, it's a great question. I think that, as in all things, having trusted sources make a big difference. So, you know, what I look for in a seed is, you know, where's the origin? You know, is it USA? Is it Europe? Is it China? Right? Is it Philippines? And, you know, the closer the seed is to you, probably the better, mm-hmm. right? So as more local as possible. In the US, we have USDA certified organic, which is a higher standard of non-GMO food and non-pesticide sprayed food. So that those are, you know, another things to look for. When you're thinking about the seeds themselves, seeds could be fresh or seeds can be old. And the fresher the seed, the higher the germination rate will be. So, you know, we can count the seeds and establish a pro rata or pro forma of what the germination rate is, and then document that. And that might mean literally taking 100 seeds, germinating them, and see, you know, how many germinate out of that 100 or how many don't germinate, right? So the reverse counting part. So you can have that. And so those are important to distinctions. And another thing that you could do is you could take a test batch of seeds and take the wastewater and send it to a lab and test for pathogen content, whether it's E. coli, Listeria, Salmonella. And so, you know, what I found is that it was the wild, wild west. So I wanted to put some boundaries around it for my own edification and purpose. And so the sprouting company, all of their seeds have USDA organic certified, tested for pathogens and tested for high germination rate as a standard protocol of all of the seeds in there, except there might be a specialty seed that might have higher levels of sulforaphane, which may not have been USDA organic, but they'd probably be pesticide free and tested for Monsanto Roundup, or also known as the chemical glyphosate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are the things that either you want organic or you want to get them tested to make sure they don't have glyphosate Roundup on them.
So where do broccoli seeds, how would you farm broccoli seeds? Is it like a certain female side of the plant that we don't see, or you know, how does that even work?
Oh, these are great questions, Chris. So what happens is the familiar broccoli that people see, those florets, if left in the ground to grow, will flower. And after the flowers wane, little pods will shoot up where the flowers were. You know, they're like rods or green beans, and inside of them contains this massive amount of broccoli seeds. So it goes from seed to sprout to microgreen to garden vegetable to flowering vegetable to then fruiting vegetable. So the seeds come within the fruit of the flowering plant.
So someone who grows their own broccoli, they might leave in a couple of plants over here and then allow them to sprout, allow them to seed, and then they take the seed. Is that, do you have to dry them out? Do you have to, like, what do you go, have you learned much about that process for someone to actually germinate?
I mean, I save my seeds on some crops as well that I'm growing.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar, you know, with it. It's amazing, like the circle of life, that one seed can replicate itself into thousands of seeds, and then the next generation, thousands. That it's not far-fetched to think that seeds can multiply themselves into millions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm working on a white paper right now with Dr. Jed Fahey and Jack Smilovitz, data scientist, on the life cycle analysis and the environmentally friendly components of sprouts. But whereas it may take 1,500 gallons of water to grow a pound of beef, you could grow a pound of sprouts with 1 gallon of water. So 1/1,500th. And for those in the UK, a gallon is about 4 liters.
Yeah, I think the exponential growth of how you can continue that cycle, like you talked about the oak tree analogy of, like, in a lifetime, it's like over 3 million seeds, essentially acorn trees. But like when you apply that to sprouts, is like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to get a lot of nutrition from sprouts.
Yeah, it's unreal. So I think that 3 years ago, I had these ideas, but now seeing them in action is really just like beyond my wildest expectations, to the point that I need to like sit back, recalibrate, and think about how much more and further it could be. I'll give you an example. You mentioned, you know, Jesse Itzler in our earlier conversation. I FaceTimed Jesse maybe 6 weeks ago, and he said, oh, I'm having my Running Man event in Georgia. You know, if you want to come talk about sprouts, you can. So like I get on a plane, I go to Georgia, and the show coordinator said, okay, Doug, you could do a breakout session. I said, well, I prefer to be on the main stage with Jesse. And she's like, no, it's booked like out. We've got talent, we've got things. But if you want, you could do 2 breakout sessions, one today and one tomorrow. And I was like, okay, great. So I do my breakout session, and Jesse sits in the front row of the breakout session for the entire part. Then after, he's like, Doug, this is so good, we got to bring you up on the main stage. So I went up on the main stage to all of Running Man, you know, 1,000+ people, and talked about sprouts. So, and you understand, like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
We're going to have, like, you know, millions of people are going to be sprouting.
I'm thinking, how does it look to supply this in a better way to people daily, that isn't in a, like, a plastic tub in Whole Foods? Like, what technologies could you bring in to like preserve and provide essentially sprouts en masse to people at the cinema? You know, how can it feed into like daily daily snacks and actually like support other foods. But that's more of like a, it's not really a question. My one question I've got floating around is, what have you been wrong about, like, over the years? What things have you been wrong about?
I mean, I think what was wrong was how addictive food is. Like, how attached people would be to food. Like, I thought that if you were to sit with a rational person and tell them, you know, what I learned, they would immediately be a convert.
Yeah.
And I found, like, how people would prioritize, you know, social construct, like how their family ate for generations, as opposed to, you know, the new information that they would have. How, like, when I got started in this journey 25 years ago, I thought, like, oh, this is so obvious, I've changed. And then I've seen people struggling with change, you know, that were there at the same, you know, starting point as myself, but still struggling and still, you know, eating bad things, that the asymmetry of knowledge and resource of the food industry versus an individual. It's like they don't even have a fighting chance. Like, someone just wants to be healthy, and the food companies are able to understand what these people think, how can you activate them with marketing or branding or pricing or accessibility to help you, and then to get them to get it. And then they add the artificial flavors, colors, salt, oil, sugar, to get this brain explosion of dopamine as the satisfaction of eating this crapamine that people, you know, hard to break away. And to try to, like, take someone's food away, it's like the metaphor of the dog on the bone. Like, you go to try to take someone's food away when they're eating, like, they'll tear your head off. And I was naive in thinking, like, oh, everyone just wants to be healthy.
Yeah, it's a big one. A lot of people know how, but the convenience and the price, it's set up to fail, you know. It's set up to, I mean, the data doesn't lie. Like, obesity, diabetes is just, it's rife. Have you read Ultra Processed People?
I have not, but the title says it all.
Yeah.
Right. In America, we have 266 million people that are overweight or obese, and we have over 90 million people that are diabetic or pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. And we have thousands of people that have heart disease, hypertension, cancer, like, and there's so much of that is directly tied to diet and consumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you were very close to lots of family members, right? So your mum died of cancer, yeah. Your father heart disease, yeah. Your brother.
And my aunt, diabetes.
Uh-huh.
So can
we talk about
tragic.
A bit about your journey of, like, yeah, realigning with your own truth around, you know, what can happen actually in terms of change, like, the pain of change being greater or lesser than the pain of staying the same, right? So what was that like for you? I'm curious to know, like, that process over those years of, like, really admitting that something needs to change.
I mean, it's so hard. It's really, like, so hard that, you know, the first course, right, is to try to get a loved one healthy the healthy way, right? And if they don't want to do it, that's hard. And then if you acquiesce and say, well, let's get them healthy in the standard way, you know, with the Ozempic and the blood thinners and the weight loss drugs, et cetera, and they still don't want to get healthy, Like it just becomes this pain, and the only liberation to the pain is the surrender. Mm-hmm. When you realize like you can really only be responsible for yourself, and to try to help someone else and try to change another person is just unlikely. And at best, it's just unlikely that you'll get, you know, their change at best. So with that knowledge, like all you can do is make efforts. But if you tie your happiness to the success of a circumstance out of your control, then it's suicide. So, you know, you don't want to become apathetic and just write people off. But what I've learned over the last several years is that people have got to want to change, and they've got to want to do the work, right? And they make the sacrifices. And if not, you know, the universe will bury them. There's like an expression in the desert that if you don't take care of something in the desert will bury it. It'll just take it back. Like it'll just, the sun and the winds and the sand will just take it back to the level, be gone.
That's such, you know,
the desert is very
interesting way of seeing like the planet like reclaiming things that are out of control. Almost they're like trying to bring things back into balance by like drawing it all back, you know, rather than growing outwards, I say. Yeah.
So I mean, that's unfortunate. And so what I tend to do is like make sure that like I'm doing the best that I can, and you know, taking time to do podcasts like this, you know, to talk about Sprouts and give people the awareness, you know, like in the US, where are most of your listeners? Are they UK or globally or US?
Yeah, more than half are in the UK, but then all over Europe and America a little bit, but most UK.
Yeah. So I think it's just a level, like I want to give hope.
For sure.
If someone wants to change, Sprouts are the solution. You know,
I was curious. I was looking at some Sprout kits before the pod, and there was options for like light and dark, and that surprised me. I did not feel like, what's the darkness about? And like, obviously, I think most people, when they quick search, leaning into your work, it's quite self-explanatory. How to grow Sprouts, you know, and most listeners will know. But it's like, okay. Can I go out of my way to produce something that intellectually might not make sense? Like, well, unless you, I guess, rationally, then maybe intellectually, if you dived into the science, for sure it does. But like when you look at a sprout and you think, that's not what I've told is going to fill me up. That's not what I've told. Yeah. You know, it's like this intellectualizing of what we've what stories we've bought into. So how do people, get a kit, start growing your sprouts? What's one hurdle people come to and then they just sack it in that can be overcome?
Well, I think that the essence of this transformation has to begin from within. And what we can do is we can provide solutions. Now, one of the big solutions that Sprouts can offer is that they are inexpensive, right? So they're affordable. They're fast growing. They're super nutritious. Intellectually, people get like they're healthy. Like they've always been in the health world, right? Whether people have done them or not.
Sure.
So the step begins with how can we get people to experiment. And so my purpose, right, and what I'm doing in my life mission is creating a movement, right? And the way you create a movement, you know, is like different for every movement, right? So in this movement, like, you know, who are the stakeholders? Who are you appealing to? There's yoga people that are just kind of spiritual. There's religious people. There are people that are early adopters, right? Like the Jesuits of the world, you know, they're early adopters. They're sprouting with their kids. Everything is great. There are chefs, people already plant-based, but they may be plant-based for, or vegan for ethical and moral reasons, not necessarily for environmental or health. And if they're already open to change, then they can incorporate it in further. Mm-hmm. There are chefs that are focused on culinary delight, like, you know, art. They're experiencing art as an experience through culinary. And if they start to consume it, then there's people who have a real dying crisis. They're overweight, and Sprouts are incredible for them for weight loss because they're high fiber, low calorie, low fat, low sugar. So the ultimate weight loss food. And if they're eating them, they could, the more they eat, the more weight loss they'll have, the more vitality, the more nutrients. So it's incredible for weight loss. Then there's a level of, in America, 90 million people that are diabetic or pre-diabetic. And Sprouts actually help regulate insulin levels in diabetics because of the medicinal properties of opening up new pathways in the body. And then, you know, there's a million firefighters in America, right? So those people have all breathed in benzene and other air pollutants from smoke. But then we have people that are volunteering to destroy their lungs through smoking cigarettes or marijuana. And the combustion of tobacco or cannabis is also creating toxins in the lungs that are seemingly irreparable damage, but there's components of the Sprouts that can actually make them better. And so then there's people that are starving, and you can appeal to them with, hey, here's food. We know you might prefer a McDonald's Happy Meal or a steak or pizza, but this is food. So if you are really hungry, you would eat this food because this is food. Mm-hmm. So, and then to create this social construct around growing your own food. During World War II, 40% of Americans were growing their own food. Mm-hmm. Today, less than 1% of Americans grow their own food. Yet we have 330 million people. We have 120 million households. So, you know, since we're starting at such a small base, it's easy to double, triple, quadruple, and make inroads into growing food. So that's like my macro part. The fact that that I know that it works at my core, like inside, I really know unequivocally, that's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes out. It comes across for sure. It's just an energy that you can feel. It's like you're speaking your truth and you're connected to it. It comes for someone who can feel people. It's like, yeah, it's definitely.
I mean, you're doing so. What's your experience with Sprouts, Chris?
Well, let's dive in, shall we? I've had these guys I've had them that long in their packet, that the labels come off, but it's actually come right off, and I can't even read what they are. So let's play a little game. But yeah, Sprouts.
Oh my God.
Probably not good to eat, right? It's been that long. They're probably about a
Well,
year.
you could try them. I don't know how long they'll, they've been inactive and how dormant they'll be,
Yeah,
but
true.
they certainly can work.
So would you agree with this? Soak overnight, discard water, rinse twice daily, will sprout in 4 to 6 days, store in fridge for 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessary to store them. I would encourage people to, grow them and eat them, but you can store.
You can. So my experience, I remember I definitely, when I got, wind of all this in your work, it was like, okay, let's give it a shot. They went rancid quite quick. I wasn't draining them enough. I was just leaving in a jar, rinsing the water, but then like, yeah, leaving them on the side. So it wasn't a proper process. So it's definitely something I'm diving into again and actually going to do it properly, because I just believe that it's so highly beneficial, and an easy way. My next question is going to be the mindset that people have. How do you speak to the mindset of people that look at sprouts and they are just like, that's not going to fill me up? Because in the book,
I think that the interesting thing that people have no idea. And so the best way to experience it is to say, okay, let's have a sprout-based meal. And Mike Posner and I host sprout-based meals in LA, and people come. Like I remember inviting, Max Lugavere, to our dinner. And we ate all sprouts. And this may have been his first meal that he didn't have red meat on, in decades, right? And so, and he was full and he wanted to come back for more. So I think that the greatest example for that is giving people, the opportunity and asking them to suspend their beliefs so that they can experience what it's like. Now, one of the things and that I realized is that people want to be healthy. I'm doing this, this talk this evening, right? It'll be, after this thing, before your podcast will drop after this thing posts. But I'm doing it with MBA, MPH, PhD in New York, Dr. Na Solo, who she's the head of community outreach at New York Presbyterian Hospital, and she runs a program called Heart Smarts, and she's enrolled people from all over the country that have a chronic illness, that are somewhat faith-based, that want to transform their life, and they all read my book, and then we get on big Zoom calls, hundreds of people, and we answer questions and we talk a little about it. It almost feels like I'm a preacher. But what I'm doing is I'm just sharing this information. And it's so great to have people that are educated in the topic, that are experiencing it, that want to take it to another level. And I see that there's a lot of negative things that can be done using these channels. And there's also a lot of positive things that can be done with the channels and the information. And curating and filtering out the things that don't serve you and bring in more of the things that do serve you, like your cold challenges and your, meditation and your, experiencing wilderness, like helping people get out of, their normal routine. And people want to change, but they also may be addicted to stimulation. They may be addicted to substances. They may be addicted to, apathy. They may have, traumatic wounds from childhood. So it's just important to greet people with an open heart and see if you can calibrate where they are. And some people just don't want to change, and other people want to change. So I think that you want to talk to people that are open-minded, that want to have change, but then you also spend a little time talking to everybody to see if you can get some new recruits inbound.
Yeah, plant some seeds. That's all you can do, really. Everywhere you go, just keep planting those seeds, but and they'll sprout one day, or maybe not. So the seeds that I have, I'm going to, this podcast will be out in a couple of weeks, so it'll give me a good amount of time to go through the process. So I'm going to share my experience over the course of the next couple of weeks and share it when the pod comes out. So yeah. I feel, are you plant-based now? Because I know you were for 15 years.
Oh yeah, I've been 100% plant-based over 25 years. Strict vegan, mostly raw. So probably over 95% raw for these 25 years.
And because I know you do talk about that quite a lot in the book of really testament to weight loss being plant-based diet and then getting a lot of nutrition from sprouts. Do you still feel that's like one of the best way to reduce weight loss?
I unequivocally, I think that fruits, like there's three methods of weight loss that I believe in, right? One that applies to all of them are all plants, right? I think just plants are great, the fiber, the nutrients. Mm-hmm. You can do intermittent fasting, smaller feeding windows, just, you know, makes it easier to eat less food. So that's a good thing. And just being able to psychologically enjoy the feeling of hunger in the mornings. I like raw. And if I'm doing raw, I will do raw sprouts, raw fruits, raw seaweeds. Another level, you know, independent of my proselytization, it just costs more money, is someone could do fruit only. Like fruit only, and I should say high carbohydrate fruit, right? So not the avocados, not nuts, but just wet-based fresh fruit. People can have extraordinary weight loss eating a lot of fruit. And then alternatively would be whole food, plant-based, no salt, oil, or sugar. Mm-hmm. And that could encompass fruits, it could encompass sprouts, but it also could encompass starches like sweet potatoes, you know, and yams and squashes that are very filling, maybe even brown rice or quinoa, that if people are eating those, they'll get the calories, they'll have more of a familiar part, you know, slightly lower vibration because everything's being cooked. But instead of having so much fruit, they're having these starches. Now, what I feel like is that level of hunger when you're eating fresh and raw makes you feel like you're bouncing off the walls. And so a lot of times people want to eat something heavy to bring them down from that high. What I've been recommending to people is when they're feeling that high, take a moment and breathe and meditate and focus on what do you want to do with all that energy that's flowing through you and not try to extinguish the flame and put out the fire. Because that's what happens is people have this newfound energy. They don't know what to do and they don't have focus and they don't know. So therefore they want to come down.
Interesting. Quite controversial for me. I don't think I'd agree with the brown rice. And since I started eating meat, I've felt more clarity. I've felt like just a lot more, I guess, hikes, more focus, more. I went 2 years with eating plant-based diet. But, you know, people do it in many different ways. There was no sprouts in the diet. Maybe I'd have felt a lot better if there was. I've had that conversation with a few people. And I think that the process of elimination in either ways, you're cutting out a lot of processed stuff, really. So I think it can work both ways of as long as you're cutting out all the crap and like not snacking a lot and like actually just focusing on cooking your own food, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, all I could say, Chris, is the longest living cultures, you know, and have been predominantly plant-based, you know, and have survived. I think that the processed food, you know, not very good. You know, the centenarians, the people that are living, you know, 100 years or greater, centenarians, super centenarians, they're predominantly plant-based. I ate meat for 33 years. So it's not like, you know, I was born in some monastery or some ashram, right? So I know, you know, what it is, you know, to do that. And I also know that there's a lot of people that, you know, can do plant-based wrong. And so what I would encourage, if you know, just is to try, and it takes like about a month to play around, fruit, fresh fruit, and fresh sprouts and raw greens, you're getting predominantly water, you're getting high nutrient value, and see how that feels, because most people have never even remotely done that. It's so different than plant-based, where you know, you're eating things that are dead, right? That are, you know, hard to process, hard to digest, versus things that are predominantly water-based and micronutrient and enzymatically rich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think it definitely works for people, for sure. 100%. I think there's a lot to say about where that food is. Like, that's why diets and advice is so slippery, because it really does depend, like, how that's grown, how the, where the meat comes from. And like the centenarians, I feel, are doing so many other things that I think diet is a small part, personally, because community, you know, I see people grow into their old age in this country with a very challenging diet and, like, not good, high processed, refined sugars. But then they live really old because they're connected to service and their community. And I don't know, like, how much is diet a part of it, a big part. But it's like, there's so many other factors to living like a healthy lifestyle and longevity. And that's what this podcast is about. It's not just about one thing. But yeah, I think food is definitely, it makes up, it's the foundation. It's the foundation. No one can argue with that. Beautiful, man. So what's to come? What are you up to now? What are you most excited about?
I mean, I think the thing I'm most excited, you know, I realized, like, there hadn't been a lot of advancements in sprouting technology, you know, in hundreds of years, that mostly people were sprouting using a mason jar, which was designed for canning, you know, from the early 1800s. And so I worked on a new integrated sprouting kit, and I worked on getting seeds available that were organic, tested for pathogens, tested for high germination rate. So we're rolling those out, you know, in the US under, you know, this, you know, Simple, the sprouting company. So very simple, you know, and I like the logo, which has been around, you know, since the beginning of time, right? Just made out of sprouts. But, you know, so what I like about, you know, the kit is that anything that's touching the sprouts is stainless steel or glass.
Yeah.
And has a nice, like, simple design that you'd want to have, and a dish tray, a drip tray that you can empty. So this is all recycled plastic. This is glass, and that's stainless steel. So I've been working on that for a while. And, you know, I'm working on white papers. You know, I published my first white paper on safety. And now I'm working on another white paper of life cycle analysis. And whereas it takes about 1,500 gallons of water to prepare 1 pound of beef, and you could grow a pound of sprouts with 1 gallon of water.
Mm-hmm.
So the resources required to grow sprouts are like literally 1/1500th of that of almost any other food. And so, you know, when we have a crisis of resources, and they're, you know, cutting down the rainforests and they're planting monocrops and all these other things, it just becomes a compelling to see how you can live in a van, and you could be growing your sprouts in the van in small footage. And because you're not going to be growing a cow, you're not going to be having a cow traveling with you in the van, in the Sprinter, you know, and then, you know, killing it every 3 years and chopping it up and having 3 years worth of food while you, you know, harvest another one. So it's all a matter of like the balance of where you are in the world and what is important to you. And I realize that, you know, while there's multiple wars going on and there's injustice and there's travesty and there's, you know, economic collapses and other things, like, where do we focus? So I feel fortunate, for me, I could focus on my family and I could focus on sprouts and I feel very complete.
Yeah, beautiful, man. I think there's a market for the van life, is there? A little sprouting kit for van lifers specifically, that it's not going to, you know, when you turn around a corner, it's not going to fall over and smash. And boats as well. It's like people have boats, right? But yeah.
Well, you know, Captain Hook, you know, fed his sailors or his pirates sprouts while they were out at sea so they didn't get scurvy.
Vitamin C, right?
So there's precedent. There's precedent at Sea Life. And I could literally say there's hundreds of people sprouting in vans, you know, across America right now. Hundreds.
Yeah. Great, man. Okay, quick fire round before you go. You talked about avocado seeds. And I think, wow, no one really gets this or knows this, because everyone's loving avocados. But you said the seed is one of the most potent parts. So how do we sprout?
That's right.
How do we sprout an avocado seed?
After you eat the avocado, you wash the seed, and then you soak it in water, you know, for a couple of hours. It will become really soft. And then you put two toothpicks or three toothpicks in the side, and then you put it into a jar. So it's half submerged, subterranean, and half above. And then it, you know, it will sprout and then grow into an avocado plant. Or you could take that germinated avocado seed and throw it in the blender and eat it.
Not in the fan, but yeah, you could definitely. Love that. And that did you see that video recently? I'm sure it went viral. There was a guy who was like, don't throw it away and do this with it. And I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how much of that was like, you know, bang for your buck. It's probably not much of what I saw, but yeah, it was similar to that. It was like you could sprout things and grow them, but yeah, it's a reframe, really. It's trying to get into that psyche of people that are just so used to one thing and just doing away with things. So buckwheat sprouts, I'm a big fan of buckwheat. You get seed, is that the buckwheat seeds? Because obviously we know the husks.
You get fresh, raw, unhulled buckwheat, and then you soak them, you know, overnight. You rinse them a couple times, and then they're chewy, they're textury, they're protein-based, they're overall terrific.
Mm. And the other thing I love was giving sprouts to your pets. I can see this happening more and more, just sprinkling those sprouts.
Yeah, kids. There's a whole angle about sprouts for science, technology, engineering, and math. So sprouts being in for STEM. So I think that's powerful.
Yeah. Okay, man. Appreciate your time, brother. Appreciate you jumping on with me and just, yeah, spouting the sprouts.
Thanks so much. Yeah, send the link when you're live, Chris. You have the best day ever. Good week. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thanks for tuning in, people. appreciate you. If you found this valuable, head over to YouTube, subscribe, or you can leave me a review over at Apple or Spotify. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your Christmas and New Year.